Welcome to the Advanced Relationship Podcast. We are your hosts, Bryce Bauer
and Jenny Morrow.
We are a married couple devoted to helping you advance your relationships.
With over 14 years experience as a marriage and family therapist and relationship coach,
and over a decade of experience as a certified life and relationship coach,
we are here to help you create the most intimate, loving, and powerful relationships on the planet. Welcome to today's podcast. This is your host, Jenny Morrow, and I am really excited to be here today flying solo. One thing that you've probably heard Bryce and I say is that podcasting is something that's really hard for the two of us to do together. And I'm realizing as I do this alone, it's also really hard for me to do it alone. I think it's just a really vulnerable experience for me. And even though we are nearly to 80 episodes, it still feels scary for me when I get on a podcast, whether it's with Bryce or whether it's just myself, and connect with all of you. So even though I feel some fear when I'm podcasting, I hope today's episode is really, really helpful for all of you as you think about how to make relationship decisions when you feel stuck. So before I dive into today's topic, I just want to make some announcements. Bryce is running men's groups. He has another one that he's getting ready to start up here. So if you're interested in joining a men's group, or if you have a man in your life who you think would be interested, pass on the info. And what you go ahead and do is email Bryce at bryce@brycebauer.com and just say, I'm interested in having a conversation about the men's groups, and he will reach out and touch base with you about what's happening. The other announcement that I have is I am getting ready to start a round of the Advanced Relationship Mastery Course. So this is a 6-month relational mastery course. And even though it can be really beneficial for couples, it's actually set up for individual learning. It's really about how to empower yourself in your relationship to yourself and to others, especially to a primary partner. But it really is a great course if you want to navigate your relationships with friends, other family members, a child or children, or if you have relationships you're trying to navigate at work or in a leadership position. Really, the Advanced Relationship Mastery course is about empowering your relationship to yourself and others. And I move through 4 main topics over the 6 months. And then you learn how to integrate all the pieces together. So in the Advanced Relationship Mastery course, you will learn the Advanced Relationship Blueprint, which is all about the difference between a traditional relationship and an advanced relationship. Then we will dive in and we'll talk about the POET process, which is the 4-step process that I use in my own relationship life and that I teach to all of my private clients. And it's how to move from traditional relationship into advanced relationship mindset, ways of being, and behaviors. And then from there, we move into what I call your intimacy capacity. You begin to understand how to assess your intimacy capacity, and then also the 4 access points, which are the 4 points through which you can actually learn how to increase your capacity for intimacy. And intimacy is really about how to hold bigger energy. So again, it's not just about romantic intimacy. It's about deepening your own self-knowledge and self-expression with yourself and with the world around you. From there, we dive into the dynamic of struggle and harmony, which is about the polarities, the masculine and feminine polarity, and how these polarities play out in all struggles, or when we harmonize them, how they play out and create a greater sense of harmony in regards to anything we're doing in our life. This is my core practice, and it's the practice that I teach all of my private clients. So if you've been listening to this podcast, if you're getting a lot of value, if you're wanting to learn more, I would say come in and take this course because it's the number one thing that I teach. And it's the thing that I go back to over and over and over. And in a way, it's become like a yoga practice for me. It's something that continues to develop over the years. I'm able to deepen into all of the practices more and more. But you have to learn them. You've got to learn them and you've got to practice them. Otherwise, you might find yourself just continuing to cycle, playing out the same patterns, And you might be learning, but if you're not practicing, if you're not applying, it's really hard to make the changes that you're really wanting. And it's hard to really get into those deep relational poses with yourself and with others that you're wanting to experience. So if you're curious about it, what you'll do is I'll add a link in the show notes. You just click on it to set up a 15-minute call with me, because I do want to talk to everyone who's interested and just make sure it's a good fit. So if you are interested, set up a 15-minute meeting with me, and what I'll do is kind of get a feel for what days, times work best for people, and we'll get a start date on the calendar. So it will be capped at 10 people. So if you're interested, be sure to reach out to me ASAP and get on the list. Okay, so let's dive in and talk about relationship decisions. And how do you make relationship decisions when you feel stuck? Now, today I am going to use something from a woman named Susan Jeffers. Now, Susan Jeffers is a PhD psychologist, and she's well known for writing some books that came out, I believe, in the 70s or 80s. And she died in 2012. She was born in 1938. She was really well known for her work in overcoming fear and moving forward with what you really want in life. So the thesis of most of her books was this: if you wait until you stop feeling scared to do what you want, you may be waiting forever. Fear does not have to be a problem. Even if you feel fear, you can move forward. You can live life, you can learn, and you can grow, and you can handle whatever comes. So Jeffers said that one of the biggest fears that keeps us from moving ahead with our lives is our difficulty in making decisions. So in her work on decision making, she taught what's called the no-lose decision making model, and that's what I'm going to be sharing with all of you today. So before we dive in, I want you to think about, what is one relationship decision that you're currently navigating? It could be in relationship with yourself. You might be navigating how to make more time for certain values that are important to you. It might be that you have an important relationship decision with a partner going on, like how to approach a specific something together. Maybe with one of your children, how to support them, or how to set boundaries with a family member. It could be how to deepen a relationship with a friend, how to work and collaborate with a team, or how to lead if you're in a leadership position. So just kind of checking in with, what is a relationship decision that you're currently facing right now? And then you can come back to that relationship decision as we talk about this process today. Okay, so some of the reasons that you might be feeling stuck or struggling with making a decision are a few things. One is fear, and that's what we'll be talking some about today, is this no-lose decision-making model that comes from a book that Susan Jeffers wrote that's called Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway. And this is a book, I just love this book. I read it years ago after I'd been a therapist for a few years. I was a part of a book club with friends, and someone put out reading this book, and I was a little skeptical at first. I kind of wondered if this would maybe be kind of more of a pop psychology type book. And whether it is or isn't, I'm not even sure what I would say about it in terms of that. It's like it didn't even matter. When I got into this book, I loved it. I began applying the practices that she was teaching, and I just found it so helpful. So I've used it over the years in relationship with myself and in my relationships with clients and in helping them to navigate their relationships in their own life and make the decisions that will help them feel like they're really aligned and able to move forward with the kind of life that they want. So feel free to check out this book called Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway. I'll put a link for it in the show notes. Okay, so fear, that's one of the big reasons that you might be struggling or feeling stuck. Another reason is the unknown. Just, you know, that reality that none of us know the future. Lack of information. So we may feel like we don't want to make a certain decision until we have more information on something. There could be a timing issue. Perhaps we want to make a decision and we also want it to fit within a certain time frame. So maybe it's not quite time to make a certain decision. It could be that there's a desire to control outcomes. And we all have this. There's nothing wrong with this desire to control and have certain outcomes. And yet sometimes we can have that desire at the expense of being able to look forward and make choices about the journey itself. There may be a lack of experience. Maybe we're trying to make a decision about something that's kind of new to us or foreign or something we've never made a decision about. And so it's kind of like, how do I even make a decision about that thing because I have so little experience with it? It could be that you're struggling to make a decision or feeling stuck because you have a limited perspective. So this is one of the reasons why I have over the years met with coaches and mentors and people who could give me perspectives wider and bigger than what I could see. Inaccurate processing or inaccurate thinking can keep us stuck. So learning about cognitive errors and really healthy cognitive thinking abilities can be really, really helpful. Otherwise, we can get stuck in things like magical thinking and superstition, and that can keep us stuck in making decisions and also keep us playing out patterns over and over again that just aren't helping us. This happens a lot with addiction, for example. There's an inaccurate processing. You want a certain outcome. You want to feel more relaxed. You want to feel more alive in your life, and you make a choice that actually maybe kind of appears to fit that need, but only momentarily. And then on the other side of that decision is actually less relaxation, less aliveness, more pain, more suffering. And so it's an inaccurate processing. You're not actually able to connect all of the dots that need to be connected in order to make a functional decision there that's really aligned with the outcome you want and ultimately the journey that you want. Those are some of the reasons why you might be struggling and or you might be feeling stuck in making your relationship decisions. I did mention that relationship decisions might be about your relationship to yourself and or your relationship to others. In some ways, our relationship to ourself and our relationship to others are intertwined. So the things that we decide to do for ourselves do impact the people that we are in relationship with. And this will be to different levels. You know, whether you have oatmeal this morning with strawberries or bananas, that may have a much smaller impact than how you deal with your anxiety today. Do you deal with it by numbing out in front of Netflix for 3 hours, by drinking a few beers? Do you deal with it through a meditation practice? You know, well, there's no right or wrong here. The idea is that the decisions that we make for ourselves in relationship with ourselves do impact other people, and it will be to different levels depending on the decision and how high the stakes are for ourselves and for others. I'm not going to differentiate between all of those levels today. We're not going to be diving into that other than just to be aware of that as you're moving into how do you face making relationship decisions when you feel stuck. Okay, the other thing that's really important in regards to relationship decisions is we're really looking at two main things. We're looking at this idea of self-expression, which again is how do you navigate your relationship to yourself? It's this ability to really tap in and be in tune with your own desires, your own ability to self-express and to learn from and be attuned to your own life experience, the things you feel, think, the sensations in your own body. So it's really about self-expression and it's about connection. How do you integrate with another and how do you be aware of impact and experience this kind of two-way dynamic that happens when we're impacting others and they are impacting us? So relationship decisions really are about both. They're about being able to navigate self-expression and connection at the same time. And that's one thing that can make relationship decisions feel so difficult. And again, this isn't just about our relationship with other people. Even in our relationship with ourselves, it's about how do we self-express with ourselves while still maintaining connection with ourselves so that we're not putting ourselves in a position where we have a hard time trusting ourselves, right? Because we're continually harming ourselves or we're putting ourselves into patterns that continually aren't feeling good. And then we start over time having a difficult time trusting ourselves. There's a lot here. Making decisions is a big, big part of life. And some decisions are very small and have very small stakes. And some decisions have a bigger impact on ourselves and on others and the world. Whatever level you're at with a particular relationship decision, the key is to practice. If you are coming back to what I teach in the Advanced Relationship Mastery course, it's really about practicing the process. So today I'm not going to be teaching any of that. Today we're going to be talking about Susan Jeffers' model and how to apply this and use this in your own life. I'm going to read just a bit from her book, Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway. She says, one of the biggest fears that keeps us from moving ahead with our lives is our difficulty in making decisions. The problem is we have been taught, be careful, you might make the wrong decision. A wrong decision, just the sound of that can bring terror to our hearts. We are afraid that the wrong decision will deprive us of something, money, friends, lovers, status, or whatever the right decision is supposed to bring us. Closely tied to this is our panic over making mistakes. For some reason, we feel we should be perfect, and we forget that we learn through our mistakes. Our need to be perfect and our need to control the outcome of events work together to keep us petrified when we think about making a change or attempting a new challenge. So in her book, Susan Jeffers goes over what she calls the no-win decision-making process, and then she teaches what she calls the no-lose decision-making process. So first, I'm going to talk a little bit about what happens when we are in the no-win decision-making process. As we're going through this, you can kind of look at how much do I already do each of these types of decision-making? Where do I sort of fit in how I make decisions in my life? And that will give you an idea of where your work is. So with the no-win decision-making process, there's a few things that happen before making the decision. One thing that happens is you focus on the no-win model. And this basically is that a decision feels like a lose-lose. Anytime you feel like the decision ahead of you is a lose-lose, you know that you're in a no-win model. And again, there's nothing wrong with that. Sometimes it just means taking a step back, taking a breath, and shifting your mindset over to a no-lose model, which we'll talk about in a moment. But I literally, there was something that came up just in this last month, and I literally felt like either way, it's a lose. You know, I just felt like a lose-lose situation was what was coming up. And that clued me in and let me know that, okay, I think what I'm doing is I think I'm trying to aggressively push a decision here. And what I need to do is I need to back up. I need to drop in. I need to practice some meditation, just reconnect with myself and navigate this decision process a little bit differently. So if you are in a no-win model, then you know that you're in this process of no-win decision making. And that will show up as a lose-lose kind of a feeling. Okay, so another thing that happens before making a decision, if you're in the no-win decision-making process, is that you will find yourself listening to your mind driving you crazy. So your mind will be going through all of these different thoughts. What if I do that? What if this doesn't work out? It'll be a lot of what ifs, which is a good feedback loop that you are in a bit of a bargaining stance with the universe, which may mean that there's a little bit of grieving going on around something that needs to happen in order for you to get more aligned. Okay, also, you may be paralyzing yourself with anxiety as you try to predict the future. If you're trying to do that, you are in a no-win decision-making process. If you are struggling to trust your impulses and you are listening to what everyone else thinks at the expense of yourself. Now, I am a big fan of gathering information from those who might know more about me in certain areas or who might know more about certain topics than I do. So I don't think there's anything wrong with gathering information from someone who might have a better process than me for how to make a decision and who might know more about a certain topic. But if you are doing that at the expense of your own impulses, then that can end up being a problem. And you'll end up blaming other people for your decisions. You'll say, well, so-and-so, the reason I made this choice is because so-and-so said I should do this. My perspective is that that's never the reason you made that choice. You made that choice because you decided to listen to that person's perspective at the expense of your own. Instead of, oh, I listened to that person's perspective and I paid attention to my own life experience, which is my impulses, but also the patterns I've been playing out. And perhaps I might say, wow, even though I have this impulse, I notice that every time I follow that particular impulse, it continually gets me back into struggle, right? And again, this is something that happens a lot with addiction patterns. We have these urges or these impulses and we follow them, but we continually play out this pattern that actually doesn't work for us. It's not actually getting you what you want. It's not actually getting you the outcome you want. It's not actually getting you the life journey you want either. So impulses can definitely be questioned. And there's nothing wrong with listening to other people who are saying and giving you feedback and saying, here's what I'm seeing. Every time you make a decision based on that impulse, here is what I'm seeing from the outside. And from there, you can go in and you can question your impulses and look at where might that pattern actually be coming from. But again, the idea here is always, always that you check the impulse, that you, this is not about trusting other people over your sense of self. And perhaps it might be important to play out that impulse over and over. So at the end of the day, you can blame whoever you want or whatever you want for your decisions, and yet you're the one making them, even if it means you're listening to someone else's feedback. So there have been times where I've been really grateful that I've listened to someone's feedback, even though my impulse was to do a certain something. But that ability to see that clearly came from having made the mistake multiple times, meaning making a choice from an impulse that wasn't actually getting me what I wanted. Once I had made that mistake enough, and I was able to get feedback from the outside, it gave me the courage to do something new that felt really foreign and in a way against my impulse. But it was still my deeper knowing that gave me the ability to do that. So this is not easy stuff. There can be layers here. But the idea is that in a no-win decision-making process, you don't trust those deeper knowings. And sometimes there's a part of us that just wants to go through the struggle again. And there's nothing wrong with that. Another thing that gives us a clue that we're in the no-win decision-making process is that we feel the heaviness of having to make a decision. It's okay that decisions can feel heavy. There's nothing wrong with that. And there's really nothing wrong with being in the no-win decision-making process. And the idea here is that we just make space for it. When we get to the no-win decision-making process and we notice that's where we are and we notice we're stuck and we feel heavy and it feels like there's no win and our mind is driving us crazy and we feel paralyzed, the key here for me when I hit this place is not to berate myself. The key here when I hit this place is really to make space for my struggle. It's to make space for my sense of stuckness, to start to breathe into that reality, almost like I'm stepping into the bodysuit of feeling stuck and struggling. Instead of trying to resist the experience of feeling stuck or struggling, what I do is I actually like to move into it, meaning I'm picture myself stepping forward into the experience of struggling to make a decision, almost like it's a costume or a bodysuit. And I imagine stepping into the costume and just letting myself feel the experience of the struggle without fighting it, without resisting it, without trying to figure it out, without any of that. And I think that sometimes just doing that can help the energy start to settle. Because sometimes what's happening is we're in a traditional relationship with decision making, and we're either fighting against the struggle and we're trying to push and make a decision and make the right decision and do the no lose decision making process and get it all right. And in my experience, that can actually cause more and more suffering. Or we can just go into avoidance and just ignore the fact that there is a decision to be made and just go into other numbing behaviors, distracting behaviors. And my perspective is that that is also going to create a space where we continue to suffer. So when you notice that you're in a no-win decision-making experience, practice being with it. Just step into it, relax, you're already there. You can't fix it or change it in this moment. It might change in the next moment, but you're going to need a little bit more space in order to see what's there that maybe you haven't seen before. And in order to get that space, it can really help to just be where you are for a moment. When it's time and when you feel ready to move into a no-lose decision-making model, then you can begin to practice a new way. In the no-win model, Susan Jeffers says that you stand at a choice point. You look down path A and you wonder, is it right or wrong? You look down path B and you wonder, is it right or wrong? Your heart feels heavy about the choice you have to make. You feel somewhat paralyzed as you think about the consequences in life and death terms. Susan Jeffers says you may stand at the threshold of the decision lamenting and obsessing, should I do this or should I do that? What if I go this way and that happens? What if it doesn't work out the way I plan? What if ... You look at the unknown and you try to predict the future. You try to take control of outside forces. Both are impossible. At this point, you might notice that you are driving yourself crazy. The no-win decision-making model. After the decision is made, the no-win model makes you constantly reassess the situation, hoping you didn't make a mistake. You keep looking back and berating yourself with, if only I had dot, dot, dot. You waste valuable energy and you also make yourself miserable. You gain relief if the outcome is as you had hoped it would be, but only temporarily. As you breathe a sigh of relief, you are already worrying that the situation might reverse itself and that it might ultimately prove to be the wrong decision. Furthermore, you are already fearful about the next decision you have to make because you will have to go through the whole agonizing process once again. But there is another way. So this is how she describes the no-lose model. She says, go back and stand at the choice point again. This time, the situation looks like this. You stand at choice point and you look down path A and you see that it's right. You look down path B and you see that it's right. Notice that what lies ahead are simply two paths, A and B, both of which are right. Each path has nothing but goodies along the way. You are clearly facing a no-lose situation. And what are those goodies? They are opportunities to experience life in a new way, to learn and grow, to find out who you are and who you would really like to be and what you would like to do in this life. Each path is strewn with opportunities despite the outcome. I'm going to have everyone just take a few breaths here because this can be a bit intense. Now, if you are ready for this no-lose decision-making model, then here are the steps that Susan Jeffers suggests that you use in your process of making a decision. She suggests that first you focus immediately on the no-lose model. So you go into the decision-making process affirming to yourself that you can't lose regardless of the outcome of the decision you make, that the world is a place for opportunity, and that you look forward to the opportunities for learning and growing that either pathway gives you. You trust that you are capable of handling whatever comes and that you're capable of learning from the experience. Secondly, she suggests that you do your homework. So there might be much to learn about the alternatives that lie before you, and it can be helpful to talk to as many people as who are willing to talk to you about things. She says, don't be afraid to approach professionals relative to the decision to be made, and then look for feedback from other sources as well. So talk to people around you. Just be willing and open to receiving information, because what you're looking for is information that might help give you perspectives that might not already be in your awareness. So it's important that you talk to those kind of people who are going to really support your learning and growing. So you want to just be aware of that. And some people won't be as available to give you good information, either because they'll be projecting their own fears onto you or something like that. So just kind of be aware of the people that you're going to for support. And then third, establish your priorities. This is so important because sometimes we go get feedback from other people, but they may be speaking from their own values. For example, one of the values that is really high for me is my marital relationship and having a really deep, connected marital relationship. Now, that may be in your very top values or it may not be. But when people come and ask me questions, I'm always coming from that place of that being a really high value for me. And that's me in a professional situation. But again, a lot of people you might go to, friends, family members, they may not even be aware that their values and their value system is different than yours. So their feedback is simply coming from their own values, and they may not have any awareness to be able to kind of notice if it's not lining up or not resonating for you, or how to help you kind of navigate that discrepancy there. So it's really important for you to establish your priorities. And this can take some time. And it's also important to know that some of your priorities may not be super clear yet. It can take using this no-lose decision-making model over time to actually also establish your priorities. And that's why I think this no-lose decision-making model is so important. Because if you're constantly looking at the no-win decision-making model and you're constantly just going off of conditioning and programming and how people say life should be and all of that, it's really hard to establish your own values and your own priorities for yourself. So I think that's another reason why practicing this no-lose decision-making model is actually really helpful. You may hit a place where you aren't quite sure what your priority is, and you may just look at path A and go, okay, well, that's right, and path B is right. And either way, I'm going to get more clear on ultimately what my deeper priority and value is here. And then she says to trust your impulses. I would say trust your deeper knowing as well. And sometimes it's hard to know which is what. She talks about trusting her gut. So when she's talking about trusting her impulses, I think that's what she's talking about, is kind of trusting these deeper knowings. You, again, might have enough experience to know that certain impulses really aren't aligned with yourself, that certain impulses are actually based on your own conditioning, or they're based on some kind of addictive type pattern, whether it's an addiction to a relationship fantasy, an addiction to some kind of numbing out distraction, anything like that. So even if you're following an impulse that's not really about an inner knowing, that's more about a conditioning or a reactive response, either way, you will learn from that. Okay, and then number five, she says, lighten up. She says, we live in a world where most people take themselves and their decisions very seriously. Now, I believe in a polarity here. So I would say that both are true. Our decisions are very serious and they're also not serious, and that there is a polarity that where those two things actually coexist. So it's about finding that balance. It's about trusting that your decisions matter and they also don't matter. And how can you make space for both of those realities in a way that's actually helpful for you? So now we've gone through the steps that Susan Jeffer suggests that you take if you're going to use the no-lose decision-making model. Let's go ahead and look at what she suggests doing after making a decision. If you're making a decision from a no-win decision-making model, where it's kind of lose-lose either way, then she says, after making the decision, here's what it looks like. So again, this is the lose-lose or the no-win. She says, after making the decision, you create anxiety by trying to control the outcome. You blame someone else if it doesn't work out as you had pictured. If it does work out, you keep wondering if it would have been better the other way. And then you don't correct if the decision is wrong because you have, quote, too much invested. So that's the lose-lose approach. That's the no-win approach. That's what happens after the decision has been made. So making the decision is not the only place where there is struggle. If you are in a no-win decision-making process and mindset, the suffering starts before you make the decision, it continues while you make the decision, and it continues after you make the decision. And again, there's nothing wrong with this. My perspective is at any one of these points, you can settle in, you can start to become more mindful, and you can start to shift the approach. So you can shift the approach either before you make the decision, during the decision-making process, and you can even start to shift the approach after. In a way, there is no lose-lose. The opportunity to win or to shift your mindset and to do something different, more effective, is always available. Okay, so let's look at what she suggests that you do after a no-lose decision-making process. She suggests that you throw away your picture, which basically means that when we make a decision, we often do so with a certain expectation in mind. Her idea here is that all we can do is trust that we've made the best decision we can, and now we can let the picture go. And we might find that what comes from our decision is really aligned, it's really connected, and we might stay with that. We also might find that certain parts of the decision are working for us, certain parts aren't, when something needs to be adjusted. Or we may find that it's just really out of line and we want to go back and make another decision. She says, if you see the outcome of a decision as looking a certain way, you will increase the likelihood of missing other opportunities. Yet the unexpected opportunities can create more value than even your original picture. If you're focused on the, quote, the way it's supposed to be, you might miss the opportunity to enjoy the way it is or to have it be wonderful in a totally different way from what you imagined. So again, can you be open to see what the reality is, not just what you thought it was supposed to be in your mind? And this doesn't mean you can't course correct or make tweaks or change your mind. It just means that you're willing to see what's really happening. Okay, after making a decision, she also suggests that you accept total responsibility for your decisions. So she says this can be a tough one. We all have a tendency to look around for someone to blame if things are not working out to our liking. She gives the example of using a stockbroker, and when he recommended a stock and it went down instead of up, she talked about wanting to blame him. And yet it takes great fortitude to admit to yourself that I made the decision to buy. No one twisted my arm. So there is a lot to learn from every decision that we make. And when you find the opportunity in any decision, it's so much easier to accept the responsibility for making it. Now again, sometimes the opportunity is just that you realized that something's not aligned. It helps you more clearly establish your priorities. It helps you learn where to love yourself more deeply. I mean, that's such a big part of the process, that this struggle with making decisions can really help us to learn to love our humanity more, to love the reality of being in a life where we can't see the future, and where we get this chance to just trust ourselves more deeply. Even if we're replaying patterns, even if we're replaying what we are saying we don't want, even then, even that experience gives you a chance to dive deeper and say, well, what's going on underneath here? What's really happening in my psyche? Why would I keep playing this pattern out? Those are the places where, in my experience, there is so much opportunity for deepening into self-love, which I think is really the thing that starts to get us aligned with what we want. Okay, and then the last thing that she suggests you do after making a decision is, she says, don't protect it, correct it. It is most important to commit yourself to any decision you make and give it your all you've got. But if it doesn't work out, change it. Many of us are so invested in making the right decision that even if we find we don't like the path we've chosen, we hang in there for dear life. She says there is tremendous value in learning that you don't like something. Then it is simply a matter of changing your path. She says, yes, there are those who keep flitting from place to place using change it as an excuse for non-commitment. I'm not talking about that, and you'll know the difference within yourself. If you've truly committed yourself to something, given it everything you've got, and then concluded it is not for you, move on to something else. So that concludes Susan Jeffers' perspective of the no-lose decision-making model. And the focus of this model really is that you cannot make a mistake, that each decision is an opportunity for learning and for growing, and that moment to moment, in a way, we are all doing the best we can. Now, obviously, you have a chance to do that, to learn and grow from your experiences and maybe from what you would call your mistakes. You get a chance to say, wow, that's not aligned with what I want to be and what I want to create, and that thing is aligned with what I want. And when you're in a relationship decision where you're stuck, it usually means that something's not clear yet. And you might need to make a decision to get more information, to get more clarity. Or you may need to spend more time gathering information, or you may need to spend more time in self-exploration, in really going into a deeper meditative practice and identifying your values and your priorities more. Or you may need to be in a more collaborative process where you're actually in this decision-making process with another person. And sometimes having a mentor, a coach, a therapist to be there with you in that process to help guide the two of you together can be so, so invaluable. So there are a lot of ways to get support if you are wanting to learn how to make more effective, aligned decisions in your life. If you want some individual support or some support as a couple, go to advancedrelationshipacademy.com. There you can find access to Bryce and I's websites where we list our services and our coaching offerings. Again, if you're interested in joining the Advanced Relationship Mastery course, click on the link in the show notes and set up a 15-minute call with me. I would love to talk. And if you want to join in on our private Facebook group, search out Advanced Relationship Podcast Community, request to join. We'd love to have you there. All right, thanks everyone for being here, and I will talk to you soon.